The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, who believes He will richly bless.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Tonight I want us to look at keeping commandments, okay, unto life. It's very key that we lay this particular block. We cannot teach the heart of God outside the context of keeping eternal life commandments. And this is called to the gospel. It is the apostolic foundation that the apostles labored to lay. As a matter of fact, the young man must, one of the greatest assets that a man can have at his youthful age, before he goes into certain endeavors of life, marriage and the others, is for that man to be trained with the discipline of faith and love. It is very key. If you want to establish young men, grow them up in the stature of Christ and cause them to flourish in the courts of our God for years, you begin with the proper foundation of the commandments of eternal life. Commandments of faith and commandments of love will establish men on the foundation of God for all eternity. So it is imperative that this instruction be laid. So as a young man, you begin, you see, one of the greatest assets you have, before you learn to love a woman, you have to learn to keep commandments. Because you see, I understand that many people's understanding of love is actually being painted from the world. So when you carry the revelation of the love that you learned from Nollywood or Hollywood to your marriage, you'll find out that it does not carry substance. It is in the church that we learn love. And the foundation for love is cultured by teachings on faith. Teachings of obedience to faith. Obedience to Christ. Following the Lord Jesus. Then you begin to learn how to keep commandments unto the perfection of love. Hallelujah. So, this foundation must be laid. So, we cannot talk about a heart after God if we cannot do a proper walk in laying foundation on the hearts of men, that their real commandments, what God wants them to keep, is to keep life commandments. And this is the path to seeking and laying hold on God. And God does not exist in an abstract context. Neither is seeking God in an abstract context. Seeking God must be on the path of continuance in keeping commandments. The discipline of following the Lord. The discipline of keeping instructions of the Spirit. The discipline of keeping ethics in the Holy Ghost. These are the things that begins to spur us. When you see a God seeker, he's a keeper of commandments. When you look at all the exploits of David in the Bible about seeking God, David does not play with commandments. You know, see, that's why the Bible says, I found a man. Can we look at 1 Samuel chapter 13? Verse 14. What defines a Davidic heart is a heart that is committed to do all that is in God's heart. So that means that David, the Davidic soul, is a soul committed, strengthened to do that which is in God. So David is a keeper of commandments. It's not just an I'm seeking God. Love is not an emotional word. Amen. I've said this several times. I said we don't fall in love. We walk in love. Show me one place in the Bible where you fall in love. You walk in love. So, but you see that David shows us that
For a man to truly follow hard after God, you must keep his instructions. This is imperative. Hallelujah. So as men, our walk must be majorly characterized. You know when they say a man, you see, a man has authority, influence, leadership, dominion. Those are expressions of his place as a man. That is what God gave a man. However, the foundation of that is love. So, men of the kingdom, amen. Everybody say real men. Amen. Real men are men of faith and love. Let me say that again. What I say, real men are men of what? Faith and love. They are men of love, men of passion, men that are gentle, men that have a tender heart, men that can be easily entreated. You see, as Reverend is a tough man from the outside, you have a tender heart. That's the only way you can do this work, sir. What you see on the outside is an expression of something inside. The heart inside must be tender. Men, inside, you are a tender lover of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to arrest a kingdom man, just tell him about God. He is weak when God comes to the scene. You can see that somebody can be told, but say, when you bring commandments of God, he is weak because he does not want to break commandments. The easiest way to get me is to ask me, is this the will of God? I'll be arrested. If you want to get a man, just say, are you sure you are doing God's will? I want to obey God. So I can be tough on the outside because I carry authority, I carry influence, I carry leader. But on the inside, with my God, I am tender. I am gentle. I am easily entreated. God can easily instruct me and I can follow. Those are the internal qualities of real kingdom men. We are men of passion. We are men that are gentle. We are gentlemen inside. We are lion on the outside, but inside we are lamb. That is our internal. We are like our father. That is who he is. When you go around the throne, you see all kinds of expression of power, authority, lightning, bolts, thunder. You'll be thinking that's God. But at the center is one very mild spirit. At the center of all that thing. So in our inside, that is who we are. We are tender men. We love. That is why it's easy to lead real men. You can't have problem with real men, sir. It's easy to pastor them. When they don't play with the instruction of their pastor. They can't be struggling. They are tender on the inside. It is easy for a woman to marry a real man. He will make sure that whatever is done in the house is God's will. He's committed to God's will. He can even put up with your weakness as a woman. Because one of the characteristics of a man, an husband, is that he will wash the woman. The washing of water by the word. He nourishes and treats her with the word. You cannot do that if you don't have that tender heart. That's why the instruction to husband is to love their wives. As what? Don't think you can just start the day you marry. You start loving. No. It is when you are laid foundations of faith and love. Faith and love. Faith and love. Keeping commandments. You find out that when you enter marriage, you can love a woman. You can bear with her weakness. Hallelujah. You can be the authority figure in the house, yet you are still a child. Somewhere. You can put up with her weakness. And then nurture her. Till she comes to a place of strength. You know, God is like that to us. Hallelujah. If God was like me, amen. Thank God for God's patience on us. Those are men. A man can stay on your case for years. Until you come, you know, men are strong on the inside. That power powers us. That strength is a heart of gold, a heart of God. Can we say amen? Now, what cultures that is commandments? This is not anything in this world. You don't have any strength from anywhere to love. It is when you begin to receive the revelations of Christ, the instruction. You see, all these teachings that we are hearing, they are culturing a love heart in us. When we keep them, we become love beings, love birds. love people. Oh, hallelujah. The people of God, that can, they are easily led. Hallelujah. When people offend us, we easily forgive. Hallelujah. As a young man, you need to have hard training in the school of forgiveness. If not, if you marry, you go, you need to have a large heart, I'm telling you. Heaven must even try you and test you in that area before they put real authority in you. They must know that you can really easily forgive. So oftentimes the initial training is that you see people offend you and step on your feet. It's God trying to teach you certain nature that a man must have. A man by nature, you must be able to release easily. You are firm, you will bring in discipline and instruction, but you can easily forgive like God has. Those are arts that God wants to build in us. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? So we see that spread in the Bible. Paul always commending the faith of the church and the love for their saints. And interestingly, you know, we move from one faith and love to another faith and love. It's a journey. Glory to God. So as men, our walk with God majorly will be characterized by love, passion, forgiveness, mercy, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Largeness of heart. You must have a large heart. Hallelujah. Everybody say large heart. You have large heart. You understand? You'll be able to sometimes put up with the weakness of your brethren. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm speaking like this tonight. Largeness of heart. Tenderness and gentleness. I said it is on this foundation that authority comes from. Power, influence, leadership, all flows from this heart. So having a heart after God is attached to abiding and keeping life commandments. Can we say amen? So let's go to 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3. We must keep commandments. So they must teach us. That's one of the things you learn in New Testament churches. How to keep commandments. Because Jesus says, if any man loves me, he will keep my commandments. So there is no, you know, it is a very plain thing. A heart of love is revealed in a heart that can keep God's commandments. If you love God, you will keep what God treasures. Let me tell you this. The reason why I love my wife is not first, maybe if I'm wrong, Pastor will correct me. The reason why I love my wife is not first because of my wife. It's first because it is God. Commandments in it. What about not keep it? You know, let me tell you, there are times that you don't feel like loving. It's not a feeling. It's just a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a commandment. I won't lie to you. I'm not perfect. 10 years of marriage, I'm not perfect. I'm still learning. I can tell you there are days I don't feel like. I'm angry. I want to just blow the house. But I remember that this ministry, Oluwa lo ma pe mi si. Ki se mo pe se iwo lo pe ra si. So I am answerable to the Lord. Jesus commanded me to love my wife. It's a commandment. First for my master. As Christ loved the church, Lobato, he raised up the standard. So you understand that love does not originate from you. It is a response to certain commandments that you are keeping. The more you keep those commandments, the more you can love the way Christ loves. So, young men, more than you learning, at times you see, you may be wondering that, okay, is this church, they are not teaching us gift of the spirit, they are not teaching us out of body experience, all of those things. Those are not what you use to culture young men. I am telling you, those are not what you talk. I remember for many years, I can say this under God, I did not start as a gifted person. I did not start. When I started my journey as a young Christian, I did not have any gifts. The only gift I had was the gift of reading the Bible. If it's a gift. I did not have any gift. I used to envy people that prophesy, have all those things. I didn't used to have them. No prophetic experience. No move of the spirit. No word of the knowledge. No gift, anything. The only thing was that I could read the Bible. And I could follow leaders. Two things that I had. I can serve. Send me anywhere, I will go. I remember those days when I was serving the local church that was small. When they call anything, people will not come. I'll be the only one to be there. That's how I grew up. I served and served and served the ministry, served pastors, served men all my life. I noticed that years after, revelation started coming understanding to scriptures, then gifts started coming. So the first thing a man has, I notice that those that begin their early Christian work with every gift, they find it difficult to be led. I'm okay, the Reverend Buswin, so money vision. Sir, I saw the Lord. In fact, the Lord was telling me what you were teaching. You know, the Lord just revealed to me, sir. I remember initially when we started a local church 5 years ago, there was such, maybe because of the DNA of the church, the first few months there was such outpouring. But later, God helped me to shut that thing down. I began to teach. That teaching trimmed the gifts. He put it under. So there were some people that did not like it. They came to me, ah, we are not having flow anymore. I said, no. Church is for not for flow. Church is for what? I think that God needed to just start us up that way. So sometimes we'll be teaching and prophetic song will break forth and the service will change. It started like that. For about, you know, we had some of those about, I knew in my spirit that this is not everlasting. So when that tide changed, some people came and said, that's not the order for churches. The order is that you sit down, you are being taught. It is the word that will train you, that will raise you up. Spirit, rest on word. Don't let anyone deceive you. I tell you that if you cannot walk through word, that you are not, you know, you are not. See, let me tell you. A young man, your early years, use it to learn love work. Use it to, you will need it in the future. What does it make sense? After you have learned the wrong thing, you will marry, you will find out that with all your heart of body experience, you cannot love your wife. After you have gone, you sit down with your wife, you say, show today. You can't walk in love. You can't walk in forgiveness. You cannot endure the weakness of your wife. You can't. Oh, it's the rescue of the spirit. You have not started anything. God will establish you in learning love. Love. You'll be learning faith. Love. Faith. Love. More faith that you have, it will be directed towards character formation. I noticed that the early emphasis in the life of young men must be character formation. Character. Shaping of your character. So if you are in a house and they are doting on your character, be blessing God. Growing up as a young man, I had tough people in my life. So they were too tough. There was nothing I did that was right. Tough leaders, yes. All the leaders I had were very tough. There was a ministry that I served in. I remember then that I served as a staff in that ministry in 98. I remember. I served as a staff. My pastor's wife will come. After I've labor, I'll be the one to sweep, wash the ground. Amen. Thank God for pastor's wife. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I won't forget Pastor Joke. She will come. She'll remove her shoe. She use her leg to do like this. The major tick by leg you. After they have called everybody to come, nobody will show up. I will sweep. We'll scrub the ground. The place was terrazzo. All those old terrazzo. So I'll scrub. So at times, you know, you want to do fast job, you use broom to scrub it. If she catches you, that you use broom, because it's brush that we use to scrub. So one day I use broom. As I was finishing with the broom, she came. I said, Kilofi, scrub baby bye. I couldn't lie anymore. It is wrong. Go back and use brush. I was using brush. I was crying. Kata was coming out. I'm the only one. And God told me that I am training you for the future. Keep quiet. I carry speaker like crazy. I did all kind of nasty work in church. And it was me like that for a long time. Before I was given an opportunity to lead prayer. If I never knew I could lead prayer. That was the training. So one day, there was nobody. The people that used to lead prayer were not available. So I was given short time to pray. And all the scriptures that I've read began to jump out. Then I remember one time. We used to have vigils every Friday in our local church. Then my pastor was the one that I used to lead. It was a small church. So I came to the vigil. We had vigils on Fridays and Mondays. You know those times, a lot of vigil, amen. Vigil, you know. And it was not singing, it's prayer, 10 to 5. You pray tongues 3 hours. So I got to church and I found out that pastor was sick. So he said that we should just be preparing, that when it's around 10:30, I should come and call him. So we were preparing and... And now when he was 10:30, I went to, well, he was sleeping. I tapped him, he couldn't wake up. I went back 11.
He was sleeping. I said, I can't wake up this man. So I started leading prayer. I led prayer till 5. So pastor woke up to 5 and came. He opened his mouth. He said, who led prayer? I said, it's me, sir. I said, I came twice and you were sleeping. He said, hey, and you led prayer? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, you start being the one to be leading prayer. There was no prayer anointing, no prayer gift. It was just, it was providence that opened it. I did everything from choir to technical. If I, when I was in technical, I performed very woefully because I didn't want to miss the message. So as I'm slotting tape, my heart is in the message. I didn't like to sit at the back. So I understand now. I appreciate that training. The training was more character training. Learning to keep instructions. If my pastor tell you to carry out instructions, you had your own. Hey! You had your own. You carry instructions to the letter. I learned that. As you are taught, do. Not I feel like. That's why I felt like, you know, I felt like that I should not add my own like. He said, is that what I told you to do? I learned early in my walk with God that if you are, you need to be accountable to instructions. As you are told, do it. If it's going to change, you will go back and tell him that, sir, if this thing you told me we're not able to carry out, should we do something else? I learned that. Today you tell people to do things. Along the line, something changes. They just take their own initiative and do any other thing. And when I couldn't get you, I just said that I should do. I said, no. I said, we are not trained like that. You will not die. Come back and say, this thing did not work. What can we do next? You need to learn to be accountable. See, let me tell you this. You cannot handle God if you cannot pass that stage. Let me tell you, I have a little bit of experience. If God tells you, hey, please, I beg you, don't hard be to it. If God says A, stay on A for as long as He says A. I learned that. If God now says now B, then you move into B. When you come to God, that's one of the things that God did not like about Saul. Saul could not keep commandments. Saul could not wait in the process and the discipline of keeping commandments. The thing that was happy about David, that David, as God says it, he would do it. Am I talking to you tonight? So let's look at 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at scripture. And please be faithful. Be very faithful. I tell you, please, I beg you, be faithful. Be faithful. Amen. And be afraid of people that come and try to tell you you are what you are not. Run away from them. Amen. In the right time, God will exalt you. If man exalts you, he will pull you down. If God exalts you, men will confirm it. And hereby we do know that we know him if we what? Keep his commandments. Okay, so it's clear here that coming into the knowing of Jesus is keeping his commandments. Now, when we say sonship, everybody says sonship. Sonship is not primarily known by the supernatural acts or spectacular acts of sonship. Sonship is the measurement of sonship is the ability to keep commandments. That is the true measurement. That is when God measures a son. A son is that which can keep the commandments of the Father. The true measurement of sonship is obedience to the will. It starts there. Anything outside that cannot be sons. So, the keeping of commandments is the training unto sonship or training for manhood. In the school of real men, God must teach you how to keep his commandments, which is a sign that you are knowing him. When you know God, you keep his commandments. Verse 4. Now, he that said, I know him. Now, and it's easy. Everybody says, there's nobody that will say, I don't know God. I know him now. All of us agree that we know God, Abby. But the Bible gives us a clear definition of those that are knowers. You are not a knower if you break eternal life codes. No matter. Now, God does something through you. He's not an approval that he's pleased with you. It was Joyner that said this. He said, God can bless what he's not committed to. When I mean blessed, you can have, in quotes, what the world calls success. Even success in ministry, you can have all those signs, everything, and God is not pleased with your work. I fear God. So you need to understand the ways of God. Everybody that says, can say we know God. We say with our mouths that we know God, but God knows the measurements. What measures our knowledge of Him is our ability to keep His commandments. So He says, he that said, I know Him, and keepeth not His what? So, knowing God and keeping His commandments are not mutually exclusive. I cannot say I know God. I cannot say I am seeking after God. And every single minute I break commandments. Every single minute I am not dependable. Every single minute I am not consistent. One of the things I pray God for, I say, God, make me consistent. Consistency is a great sign of spiritual strength. Make me consistent in the path of life. For thou hast shown me the path of life in your presence. If God shows you the path of life, then stay in the path of life. So, he that saith, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. So, there is a New Testament definition for liar. Okuro ni okuro. Okuro. Olohun lo moto ase lo ya moto re ni okuro. That what is it? This is what God calls a liar. And at times, we all fit into this thing at times. So we need to always check ourselves. He that said I know him, and keep it on his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. How many of you know that? It was David that said it. I think there's Psalm 51 verse 6. It says, thou desire truth in the inward part of the belly. So truth is configured for the inside. When truth is fashioned on the inside, truth is expressed on the inside, out the outside. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you see that the walking of truth, that's why you see apostles, their major concern for New Testament churches is how they can, how children can walk in truth. Many times John says, I rejoice that I see my children walking in truth. Of course, when they are walking in truth, means that they are keeping truth. Because what you keep, you walk in. So the greatest joy of the Father for men is their ability to see that they keep truth in the inward part of their belly. Let's go back there. 1 John chapter 2 verse 4. He said, God says he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. So God wants truth to be on our inside. Can we say amen? Truth is not primarily what we... As a young man, that's another temptation. You are tempted to want to first preach. So when you listen to Reverend Busui, the next thing is, let's preach this thing. And we all did that. We did that for a while and we all crashed. Amen. We were preaching things far beyond our age. And then we crashed with them. Because you see, spirits don't care how young you are. And do what you're not supposed to undo, they'll go after you. I have guys that have not recovered. For over many years now, I'm talking about 15 years after. They are not recovered. Some don't even go to church anymore. They don't take church serious. Amen. Is that bad? So you need to understand that young men are supposed to grow under the elders. That's a order. Young men are not supposed to be exposed prematurely. So while even young men are handling truth, the elders must be watching. Because at times there are operations of truth, worthy of truth, that you cannot handle. It is the elders that actually... They are the ones that have stature to push away the tides of warfare so that you can grow without truth. At times when you are prospering in the truth, it's some guys that are doing the covering. You not think it's you. I'm okay, Bible. No. The elders they are forming a shield over you so that you can prosper in your own journey of truth. It's not you. It's not you. I'm telling you. Men have labored in the spirit. Of course, your heavens will be cleared. So what happens to young men that go into ministry without proper approval and proper releasing is that they go to ministry prematurely and they expose prematurely. Not even with this eternal life gospel. It's not the one that you go prematurely. You have to make sure that you are confirmed to be sent. If when they want to send, when they say, go me, O Lord, go. They are the ones that will push you out.
You can't handle the spirits that fight this gospel. You can't. You can't handle them. They are wicked. They can run you mad with depression. They can. I'm telling you, literally, they can turn you mad. If a young man goes outside without proper oversight and covering, he cannot survive the tides. So that's why the first testing for a young man in the ecclesia is years of keeping commandments. And men watching you, how you are steadfast in your walk. Steadfast in your walk. And even after that, you should be accountable. Amen. You should be accountable. It makes us safe. You need to play safe. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope I'm blessing you tonight. So he that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word. I like this. So you see conditions. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So you see that it is the keeping of the commandments of Christ. It is first Christ's commandment. Because you see, if you don't keep Christ, you cannot move into perfection of love in God. It starts by following Christ and keeping Christ. Now look at what says. He says, yeah, boy, know we that we are what? So the proof that you are in him is that you can keep Christ. You can keep the commandment of Jesus. You can obey faith in the Son. Your life can be conformed to truth order. If you can keep those instructions, you see, those are the things that spurs a heart to seek God. Let me tell you this. If a heart is not energized by truth and it goes on the quest of seeking God, over time, it will tire out. You will go weary. I've seen the best of men give up. Yeah. I've seen men that have love for God, the passion, along the line, they stopped. Many began to trust in this power, but they gave up. So it is not, you don't have the power to seek God. What makes you seek God is truth being established in you. As you are receiving truth, as you are receiving the revelations of Christ, and you are keeping those revelations, they are establishing in you a strength beyond yourself to seek God. You can't seek God by yourself. God must help you to seek him. Let's look at John 14. We'll come back here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see that Jesus emphasized that over and over again. If you love me, you keep my commandments. So if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, you keep my... If you love me, so it means that when I'm loving God, I'm keeping commandments. Okay, let's go to verse 21. Okay, we'll read down to verse 23. He that has my commandments. So the first thing is that you need to have those commandments. In the seeking the heart after God, the first thing is that the heart seeks after commandments. So one of the prayers you need to pray regularly is that, God, give me commandments. You need commandments. In the midst of teachings, they must give you commandments. That's why you must not play with teaching. Because I know that it is in the environment of the preaching of eternal life that commandments come. And so you just find out that after preaching, God, maybe as a man, God says, you need to love your wife the most. Love your wife more. That's commandments. You have to now ask, well, how do I love my wife more? Then God will tell you this, that. So when you obey that commandment, you enter life. You enter life. So if you are used to always disregarding commandments, you only have information in your head. There will be no life in your heart. Neither will there be love in your heart. You will know it in your mind. Is it eternal life? Yeah, commandments. Yeah, love, perfection of the Son, faith of the Son. It's only information in your head. Nothing is happening in your heart. Why? Because you are hearing, but you are not keeping. You are not keeping. As the word of God is coming, commandments are coming. So when the word is coming, your heart should be God. Speak to me. Command your Son. And so when commandments is coming to you, and you keep those commandments, commandments always move us into life. Hallelujah. Are you getting the point now? So he that has, so we start by seeking out his commandments. We need to be in an atmosphere where the commandments are rolled out by preaching. And keep them.
How many of you know that we always keep things that we treasure? Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. There are things I've been keeping for 20 years. See what it is on. I treasure them. If I'm looking for anything for days, it's not something that my heart... Somebody's laughing already. The things that are treasurable to me, I know where they are. If I go there, it's not there, I shout, Olubi! You understand? It is there. Nothing moves there. I know where it is. Because that's where my heart is. Most of them, one of the things I treasure most, let me tell you, are my jotters. I have jotters as far back as 20 years ago. I archive jotter. To me, it's a pleasurable thing. If anything happens to my jotter, so I archive them in a place. 19 this, 2000 and this, I keep them. So if anything is missing, I know. Because it doesn't get missing. It is where I put it that it stays. Whatever you treasure, your heart is inside. Wherever your heart, your treasure is, where will your heart be? The same place. So, he that has my commandments and keepeth them is he it is that what loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be what? So you see that the Father is only committed to a soul or a man that can follow Christ and get committed to the instructions of Christ. And I will also love him. And in that bid, I will what? Manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. You know, this particular point of Christ manifesting himself to us, I've stayed on it for a while. What does it mean? For Christ to manifest himself to us. There is a reality in Christ. You see, you may touch some external realities of Christ and not know things that he's made of up inside. I believe that this manifestation does not have to do with so much of external signs. It has to do with knowing the Son. Yes, the Son personally revealing himself to you. Now, I now understand that Jesus does not reveal himself to anyone like that. Jesus will reveal himself to you over years of you keeping commandments. All of a sudden, you will now say, okay, it is me that you want. How do I know? You have kept that commandment up to here. The only thing you can be seeking is me. Then he will reveal himself to you. Many people that are not seeking Christ will not keep his commandments. There are many ministers that don't keep commandments. Because what they want to do is to preach. If Christ knows that he's preaching you want, he will draw the line. He knows you won't pass this line. Particularly when there's angelic manifestation, gifts of the spirit, healing, wonders, and a tingling revelation. He crosses the line. He knows you won't pass this line. If you cross that line, he knows that you want him. So this manifestation I'm talking about has to do with the realities that make up the Son. It means that you have gone far and you have seen some things. I said, this one is not enough for me. I want you. And the sign is that you are keeping commandments. He said, so I will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, is it that thou which manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, I like that. If a man loves me, he will what? You keep my word. So I want you to see love in this context. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. My words. I'm talking about the words of eternal life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the God, and the Word was God. In him was life. So when I'm talking about keeping words, yeah, I'm talking about keeping life. Life being released to you. And my Father will love him. And we will come. A real man is a man that we is coming to him. You know, that you come. He says, we will come unto him. And what? Make what? We are committed to this person. We will make our abode with him. Let's go back to 1 John 2. Hallelujah. This is what I want. Amen. How many of you are seeking this? Oh my. We want God to make abode for us. So, but whosoever keepeth his word, and in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby we know that we are in him. So, hereby we know that we are abiding. One thing about commandments of eternal life is that the more you begin to keep them, you gradually get to quick, you are quickened. Commandments cause you to be quickened. It makes you live. How do you know a man that is living? Amen. A man that is living is a man that is what? Receiving and keeping commandments. Because commandments bring us to God. How do I come to God? Commandments. I can't come to God without commandments. God issues commandments. When I keep them, I'm coming. So, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, whosoever cometh to God must believe. So you see that it is commandments that are obeyed that brings us to God. No man can find God by himself. It is the command, the part of keeping commandments that brings you to God. No wonder David says that thou hast showed me the path of life. Let me tell you this. You might think that's not a small prayer. That is the fact that you have seen the path that leads unto God. It says in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the path to life must be revealed to you. When that path is revealed, there will now be commandments coming for you to consistently walk in that path. Hallelujah. So he that says he abided in him, so that means that, you see, the interest of God is that we abide. Can we say abide? What does it mean to abide? Like I said, commandments will first cause us to live. We are quickened to come to God. We are energized to come. Obedience to faith. What it does mean is that you are energized to come to God. Because it is only obedience to faith in the Son that brings you to the Father. There's no other way. So a man must learn to be committed to the sayings of Christ. The sayings, saith the Lord, must be your obsession as a real man. Because it is what Christ says that brings you to his Father. If you can keep the sayings of Christ, you are coming to God. So he that, look at it, you can see saith. He that saith, he abideth in him. Also, in him, ought himself also so to what? Walk. Even as it walks. So you see that the instruction to abide. So when commandments come and we are keeping commandments, we begin to gradually be quickened. Then I live. For the just shall live by faith. I live. That means that I am alive to the word of God. Hallelujah. At times, you know, people say you are, hallelujah, you know, you have spirit realm and you have world of truth. Spirit realm is the realm of angels, demons. But you see, your calling is to come into that order of truth. That is a very high order. At times, we appreciate people that explore spirit realm. We say they are supernatural men. But yet, they are not, in one day, they have not kept eternal life instructions. God knows those that are serious with him. God will not commit himself to a soul that has not followed his Son. If you are not a follower of Christ, the Father cannot give you himself for inheritance. So a real man is a follower of Christ. A real man is one that is obsessed with the sayings of Christ. A real man is one that can stay on Christ for years. When I mean stay on Christ, the stain on Christ affects every area of your life. Christ shapes your vision for marriage, shapes your vision for raising up children, shapes your vision for career, shapes your vision with relating with society, shapes your vision. That means there's nothing that comes out of you that is not of Christ. Glory to God. Brethren, I write to you no new commandments, but an old commandment. I will not talk about new and old commandment here. But you know, there are two laws in Christ, faith and love. Faith and love are in the Son. And those things are commandments. You know, another word for laws are commandments. In Psalm 199, you see 119. David interchanges commandments with laws. Sometimes he uses statutes, he uses precepts. It's just this, it's the wisdom of words, but it means the same thing. So, the law of faith is the commandment of faith. The law of love is the commandment of love. And these things are in Christ. So when Christ wants to reveal himself to you, he will teach you how to obey faith commandments. Faith commandments are the commandments that bring you to him. As you obey, you come to him. So as you, the more you obey Christ, the more you are quickened to seek him the more. The more you seek him, the more you get gradually established in life. Now, before we go to Old and New Commandment, let's look at John 15. Then we'll look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, down to verse 10. And I'll round up. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to pray for more commandments. Can you say amen? Let commandments come, so that I might seek you, God. Teach me your ways. You see, David, Psalm 119 is a very terrible psalm. Teach me your ways. Teach me your commandments. You know, you could see a man that was seeking commandments. I am the vine and my father is the husbandman. Next verse. Verse 2. Okay, I'm the true vine and my father is the husbandman. John 15 verse 1. I'm the true vine and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Look at that. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he what? Taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring more fruit. So you see that bearing fruit is to stay in the sun. You can see. So when you now stay in the sun, you bear fruit. Then the Father now prunes that so that you can bear more fruit. So a soul will not generate fruit unto eternal life if he has not learned to follow the teachings of Christ. You see, Christ must be the goal. Knowing and becoming like Christ must be the goal of a man. It is in that order that you can see that a man can be fruitful. There is no fruitfulness outside obedience to the faith in Christ. Because every other fruitfulness will be temporal. It's not going to last. It is only things that are rooted in the Son that have eternal longevity. So when you are not building your life in the Son, know that that which you are building will soon pass away. When you are building a ministry that is not built on the carats of the word in the sun, you know that that ministry is going to, there are many ministries that are passed away. There are many great, and even in this land, there are some ministers that if I mention their name, you say, where are they? That their ministries were powerful. That they shook Nigeria at a particular season, but today they are no more. When you build on Christ, you build for eternity. When a man builds of Christ, he's building an authentic man that will stand in the courts of the Lord all the days of his life. No wonder David says that it is a day in your house. You know, a day in your courts. You know, David knew the relevance of what it means to abide in God's presence. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So how do you dwell in the house of the Lord? You need to be a keeper of the things of Christ. Amen. Let's go to verse 3. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. This is very, very powerful. You see? You understand that I will not be beautified with the glory of God until I have been purged by the teachings of Christ. So the teachings of Christ prepares me for glory. Can you say amen? The glory, amen. Let me say, the glory cloud is not the same thing as glory. You can encounter glory cloud and no glory is inside you. So those that are emphasizing glory cloud, they need to watch it. The true glory of the Father comes by the writing of Christ in his soul. If Christ is not written in you, you can't bear the glory of his Father. It is in Old Testament that the emphasis is on glory cloud. In New Testament, emphasis is on writings of Christ. So when Christ is written in a soul, that soul is being adorned for glory. Why? When Christ is written in a soul, the soul is being cleaned. How do you clean a soul? Teach Christ. Christ is a sanctifier. He's a purger. He's a purifier. He makes you clean. Everybody say clean. So as men, we need to be clean from the inside. No guile. No hypocrisy. As in, what you see is what you get. In this area, I'm still praying, God, clean me. I want to be as transparent as the holy city. What I mean transparent? You see inside. I'm clear as crystal. That's the nature of true kingdom men. You are clear on your inside. No impurities. You see, it is in that environment that the glory of God can adorn a man. So yeah, according to the word I've spoken unto you, verse 4. Abide in me, you can see. So you can see that cleaning comes before abiding. So it shows me that cleaning is how I come to abide. A soul that is not going through the process of being cleaned by the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot come to a place where it can stay in God. Abide in me and I in you. Any branch that does not bear fruit cannot bear fruit of itself, oh, except it abides where? In the vine. Now this is where I'm going. No more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5. Very good. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me. So you can see, this is where the Lord Jesus wants to bring us to. Where our life is powered by Christ. That without me, you know, you sometimes, there was a time as a young Christian, is this really possible? That without, you know, that my life is so much dependent upon Christ. I draw my source of inspiration for living. That truly, that without him, I can do nothing. But this is where cleaning brings you. Much cleaning makes you weak. When I mean you are weak, it means that you are weak to carry out your own agenda. You now become a waiter on his own agenda. A real man is a man that can wait for God. A real man is a man that has been paralyzed of his own mission and vision. And is not energized to do Christ's vision. So that happens through much cleaning. That's why you need preaching and preaching and preaching. Because more preaching is more cleaning. And then you're empowered. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We must bear fruit, brethren. Let's go back to that verse 9. Amen. Now, this, you can see the instructions that they give churches. See, he that saith again, he that said that he is in the light, and what? Hated his brother. You see, one thing that God will teach you in the company of life keepers is how to keep covenant relationship with brethren. It's not a small thing. It is a major learning in the path of life. You cannot inherit eternal glory if you break love codes. He that saith is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even up to now. So it means that, you know, the terrible thing, hate is a dominion. You must not be found in that realm. You must not be found in a realm where there are all kinds of hateful birds. My heart must be clean. So walking in love is a commandment. It's a must. I cannot afford my heart to be defiled with hate, iniquity, strife, envy, malice. You understand? I cannot flow with a brother and a sister because there's so much impurity in me. I can't, you know, I love the brethren. You know, I move from death to life because I love the brethren. I'm committed to keeping love commandments as I respond to God and as I also keep relationship with my brethren. So I cannot just depart from my brethren anyhow. I'm accountable to you. And you are accountable to me. Let's go back there. It's very key. So he that says he's in the light and hated his brother is in darkness unto now. So you can judge. You see, I believe that these are very good yardsticks to judge our progress in life, in the order of life. So darkness will fill a soul that cannot dwell in love with the brethren. Can you give me 1 John chapter 3 quickly? I think verse 10. Is it verse 10? 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10. Hallelujah. We are teaching about keeping commandments. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. In this and the children of God made manifest, and the children of devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. You can see that it starts with keeping righteousness and also extending to loving the brethren. So as I am loving God, responding to God, it is in resonance with the brethren. So you can judge. Now look at this. Let's read through. That means that I am accountable. I receive instruction. A soul that cannot dwell in an accountable relationship cannot keep eternal, cannot inherit God. I'm telling you. You cannot even come near God's glory. God's glory for those that have learned to not just keep commandments with him, but have kept commandments with what? Their brethren. Verse 11. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. That we should what? That we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. You know, there's a Cain spirit that wants to defy the brethrenhood. We need to be watchful. We need to protect the flock against spirits of Cain. Cain was a type of brother. It's a type of spirit that goes after the purity of the Lord's flock. So we must always guide ourselves. We need to protect one another from the Cainish spirit. It's a wicked spirit. It's a spirit that envies the other brethren. And gradually, when you allow envy to take your heart so much, you know what happens? Satan steps in. Through a brother, Satan can enter a church and cause havoc. So we must keep the flock. We must. That's one of the duty of. That's why you see pastors must be protective. That's the truth. They must protect the flock. There's no one thing that can defile many brethren. So they go after it. They make sure that thing does not spread. So not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. If a man in this church, what happens in your family is the business of the shepherds of the church. Your family is submitted to the corporate vision of the local house. You cannot run your family. He says, you job back, church, you delay me. Eternal life, I'll be saying, I want 81 billion. Reverend Busui is your pastor in the church. This is my home. I'm the head. I've seen some men say that. You are the head in your home, but you are submitted to Christ. And because you are submitted to Christ, you are submitted to the leadership that Jesus said. Set in the house. That is the order. You must tickle down. Those are details of the spirit that we cannot break. When the Bible says, how good and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, the next thing it teaches is order. Show me that scripture quickly. You know, when you look at it, it's just brethren are dwelling in unity. No. Unity is keeping our order, keeping our rank. Now look at how we compare that unity. If not, grace of Christ will not flow to the house. This grace can also be life. Hello? Am I talking? It is like a precious ointment upon the head that round down the beard. Okay? We can say the head is Christ, the beard is a kind of leadership. And even Aaron's beard, you know, the type of high priest. And then down to the scepter of the garment, every other person in their order. So when you are not under, life will not flow to you. So you cannot break the code of the brethren. This thing is not just for fun. You need to keep order, keep rank in the spirit. Honor. Honor the leaders. Honor one another. Honor the leaders. If God set a leader over you in a group, you think he's a small boy. No, it's not about this. Rubbish. I only submit to Reverend Busui in this church. We are not like that. We follow order. Can you say amen? Now look at that. It says, it's as the dew of Ammon. Amen. You know, men are always accused of rebellion. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know why. I'm just countering that natural tendency of a man to be rebellious. Kingdom men are submissive. We are the opposite of rebellion. When you want to see submissive men, come to the church. It is as the dew of Ammon that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Look at it. For what? There. So there is a place in the spirit called there. That there is keeping that order. For there the Lord shall what? Command the blessing. What is that blessing? Even what? So life flows in the company of what? The unity of the brethren. Eternal life will not flow when Satan breaks unity. That's why Paul always talks to the church to be of what? One mind, having the same love. The reason is because once Satan attacks the environment of a church, what is after is that life will not settle in the saints. So we have a duty to make sure that we pray that the atmosphere of our church is kept. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's go back to first. I'll round up here. 1 John chapter 2. So real men, we are men of order. We don't just keep commandments, we keep order. I give honor to those that is due. I honor those that honor is due. I keep order. I'm a man. I'm a real man. I keep order. You are not weak when you keep order. You are not weak when you submit to one another. As a matter of fact, you are stronger. I am strong when I submit to Pastor Alfred. He's a strong man. Pastor, I respect you. I honor you. That's strength. It's not weakness. Oh, you, oh, Mugo. Oh, the mind here. They said that although men are strong in it, you know, you are the opposite. You see, that strength is your reality in the spirit. Although men are hard at seeking God, we are building a church that is counter the natural strength in the flesh. So what is the strength of a typical undo man is what you are in the spirit of your pursuit towards God. In this church, our men are hard in seeking God. That is your spiritual DNA. When they come to us, if you want to find men that seek God, come to Eternal Life Embassy. They are hard kingdom seekers. That means when they set their heart to God, nothing can stop them. That's your DNA in the spirit. So let's just read through. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and whereof slew ye him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Next verse. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we are passed from death to life. This is a New Testament church. So a church can be in death. Yeah, a whole assembly. We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We keep order and commandments. We are not rebellious. We keep order in the house. We honor one another. We esteem one another. We love one another. We protect one another. We rebuke one another. We fight in love. Love is not a passive reality. If I love you, I challenge you. You cannot afford to walk anyhow. I challenge you. Love rebukes. Love chastises. Love corrects. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. I read down to verse 18 and we'll pray. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. You know, there are some areas of scripture I don't really, sometimes when I want to go, I first pray. I pray in tongues very well because I enter. Can he join in some people now? What is this man saying? Whoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding. You know, the essence of commandment, like I said, is for abiding on life. So, yeah, I cannot afford to play in that zone. If I play too much in that zone, life will only settle. So, the Bible says, New Testament definition of murderer. He that hated the brethren. Hallelujah. So, we must even be careful. We must not speak ill of the brethren. Even when the brethren have weakness, because love covers a multitude of sins, we rather pray for the brethren. We don't go out and say, no. If I even leave this church, I will not speak ill of this church. I still keep the code of the brethren. Those are ethics in the spirit. If God wants to prosper you in this work, by perceive we love God. We can't stay here. We have to close. Hereby perceives. You can say we are perceiving. If you can keep this, thereby we perceive. Most perceive and love alone. If you can keep this command. Hereby we perceive in love God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to what? Lay down our lives for who? You see, the person sitting near you is not church member. A church member, I mean, look on real. He's not church member. He's what?
His what? Brethren. You are accountable to. That's your brother and your sister. Spirit is thicker than blood. What binds us together is more than blood. Some of you, you elevate your natural families more than your spiritual families. You are yet to come into light. Your brethren must know a special place in your heart. Those are the companions that journey together to Zion. They are companions in life. But whosoever hath his words good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 18. My little children, let not love him be in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, in truth. Let's stand to our feet. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Karabagada shesto na bargana. Hele barakano shatona. Emarada banana banaya. Harabana. Come on, let's pray for God to strengthen us with might. Inawahina man. Hele baraganoshta. He gada da 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 na brakana. He rabaraba kanya la brakona. Jele brakanya la brakasu. He rabapradia la brakosta. Oh. Jebaraba kanya la brakoka. He la brakanya. The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk in the Spirit is to walk in love.
We believe you have heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the word that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us on any of our meetings? You can join us for Live with Friends and Partners Forum first and third Saturday of every month by 8 a.m., on Wednesdays by 5 p.m., and Sundays by 8 a.m., all at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road, Ondo. For more information, please call 0703-895-5483. Or 0803-850-6491. Or you contact us at livemanifestation@yahoo.com. Remain blessed.